Great show today. Met a real-life ninja warrior.
Love her. She's really fit. She works in special education. She's a champ.
She couldn't handle the spinning log.
No,
or the cargo
fair
net.
Enough. We helped try and save our Immigration Minister Peter Dutton's marriage, which I didn't actually anticipate until right at the end.
We're good like that. We're good like that.
Yeah, and Robin, you wanted more redhead sperm to be thrown around the place. Interesting.
Well, that's you, Mardo.
Very interesting. Plenty in the catch-up. Enjoy yourself.
Okay, yesterday morning, it was a really sad story. You might have seen it on the news last night as well. A young girl is now in hospital at the Lady Cilento Children's Hospital after the family pet, a Staffy Cross, bit her on the face. Now, there is a dramatic increase in dog bites in this country, and I was talking about this last week, and they're suggesting it's because more people have dogs.
Do more people have dogs? Have we got stats on that?
Yeah, they do. It's now up to about 39%, and 10 years ago it was about 26%.
Oh, right. Wow, that's a lot. So nearly 40% of us have dogs.
Yeah, now.
Okay.
And I think it's also because they've become, you know, if you think about it seasonally, there are now trendy dogs. So a couple of years ago it was greyhounds. Then it's sausage dogs, your favourite, Ed.
No, those stupid dogs with the pointy uppy ears. What are they called?
I'm worried.
French
Kelpie,
French,
like I've got.
No.
Come on.
French little, bulldogs.
Are they little?
Or the
they're
pugs?
Little with. No, they're little with pointy uppy ears.
Oh, yeah. Just chihuahuas.
Pomeranian.
No. They're the French bulldog.
Someone will know.
Anyway.
Come on, we're hopeless. That one.
My question.
Point is, they're an abomination of nature.
No, yeah. They're not.
They're awful.
Well, okay, Ed Cavalier, we know you don't like dogs, so answer me this question. When it comes
got bitten by a sausage dog 2 weeks
ago. There it is.
That was more than 2 weeks ago, mate.
Attacked by a sausage dog.
It mouthed your calf, or it only just got above your Achilles.
Yeah. And he's still going on about it.
I am the living victim of dog rage.
Yeah, a sausage dog.
How many attacks have there been? Like, all right, we've got our living example here.
Right.
Big Ed. What have you got?
I now have, because I had to put my greyhound down a couple of weeks ago, so I've got a...
Numbers of attacks. Sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, they're just saying it's on the rise. There is an increase. Is that what you mean? Is that what you want? Okay, so my question is this. Whose fault is it when a dog attacks someone? Is it the child or the person who's being attacked? Is it the dog or is it the owner?
And this, you know what we're going to get here? You said a key word in your description of the dog attack that was been in the news. Can you just name that breed again, please?
Oh, don't you dare because... Yeah, go on.
Staffy Cross. Mm.
Are you saying Staffies are responsible for a lot of them?
I'm not saying anything. All I'm saying is that I bet you any money that on 133353 I'm about to speak to Staffy owners that are going to disagree.
I'll start off because one of my best mates, my next door neighbour, owns a Staffy and it's one of the most fabulous. It's one of the most powerful dogs there are, but it's one of the most wonderful dogs as well.
Okay, so whose fault is it? 133353 when it comes
all right,
to
I'm going to say something here. I notice my dog, and probably we don't train it well enough and all the rest of it, but it's a beautiful dog and it's only 6-7 months old now. Listeners helped me decide on a Kelpie. It jumps up on kids. Is that an attack? And sometimes then the kids get really upset. I've seen it already. Little kids get upset and they fall over and then next thing you know, my blokes go scratching and trying to play with the kid. That might be deemed an attack.
It's your fault.
No, it's the kid's fault.
So righto, 133353, Ryan of Bribey Island. Let's kick it off straight away. Whose fault is it, do you reckon?
G'day, guys. How are we?
Yeah.
Good, mate.
I'm worried.
Look, mate, straight up, it's got to be the owner's fault, mate. 100%. We've got a big dog park up near us here, and the amount of tools that walk in with their dog leading them 10 metres ahead. A dog is a pack mentality animal, mate. They follow the pack leader. And if the owners haven't got the, to take the lead of the pack, then the dog will act out, whether it's nerves or fear biting or whatever it is. You know, they're simple as that, man. They're a pack animal. You get a good, strong pack leader, a dog will follow all day.
Is that any type of dog? You know, we're talking...
Any dog. It's a pack mentality dog. It's a pack mentality animal. I've got a special needs son. And my son can take, you know, bones out of my Staffy's mouth. He won't even look at him the wrong way. Go up and clout him in the head with a shovel. He won't look at him the wrong way because he knows he's above him in the pack.
There you go. Staffy owner is saying it's the owner's fault.
Thank you very much,
not
Ryan.
Not teaching your dog well enough.
Let's get into it. When the dogs start biting, and they are, it's on the increase, whose fault is it?
Can we look up, before we come back after the song, what's the bitiest dog? What attacks
sausage.
The most?
Leave it. It
Stop
is not
with your sausage.
A sausage dog. It didn't even break the skin, Edward.
It was a bloody mouthing. Menace. That wasn't
ridiculous.
An attack.
Whose fault is it that the dogs are biting? Is it the dog? Is it the owner? Is it the person it attacks? 133353.
Now, you asked me to find out, Mardo, which are the most attacking dogs.
The most attacky dog in Brisbane.
And I've got both Brisbane and Gold Coast. It's interesting. They're different.
Oh, white fluffy down the coast. Handbag
no,
dog.
The absolute opposite. Oh. Down the coast, pretty much every single, it's either American Staffordshire Terrier is number 5, Staffordshire Terrier, a Bull Terrier Cross is number 4, Rottweiler is number 3, a Staffordshire Bull Terrier, no crossing, just as is number 2, and the number 1 breed that's attacking people on the Gold Coast is a crossbreed.
What's that mean?
Mongrel?
Well, just mongrel.
Oh, like a mutt. Okay, yeah. Gotcha. Yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense.
In probably Brisbane? Most,
what's the number 1 in Brisbane? Yeah. Oh.
Okay, interesting. Number 5, Labrador Retriever?
No.
Must be angry.
Or hungry, like always.
Number 4, Rottweiler. Number 3, German Shepherd. Mm. Number 2, the Australian Cattle Dog.
Yeah, they're nippers.
And number 1, the Staffordshire Bull Terrier.
Oh, there we go again.
Bernadette from Paddington. Bernadette, whose fault is it when a dog attacks?
I think that it's multifaceted, but I do believe it's the owner. Dogs are pack animals and they require owners who are confident and comfortable with them, and often that is not the case. Same as one of the other guys said earlier. The amount of dogs that dog off-leash parks that just have no manners and they're not taught any. People just think, oh, they're a dog. I don't need to do that. Yeah, you do. That's what a pack would do.
Bernadette, tell me what happens at the dog park. I haven't made my way to one of them yet. Do they just open the gate, take the dog off the leash and let them in and that's it?
Or yeah, do they go in? Yeah, and that's... Well, no. Parents, hello.
Yes. No,
people do go in, and often, you know, it's their chance just to, I don't know, ignore the dog, and they expect the dog to go off and play. And lots of dogs do that.
Yeah.
There are lots of dogs that get there and are fearful because it's a really unique situation that they come from their pack at home where, well, if they're treated properly, they're at the bottom of the pack, to this place where all the dogs are just going hell or leather, whatever they want to do, and there's no structure, whereas a pack animal requires structure. It requires parents or humans to teach them that this is the right and wrong way of doing
things. I know
what
you're saying, Bernadette. It's like the New South Wales Blues. If they don't know that they're at the bottom of the pack and they're allowed to roam, then they go crazy, and we all know that. Thank you, Bernadette.
Coxie of Jimboomba, whose fault is it if a dog attacks? The dog, the victim, or the owner?
Look, I own 2 American Staffy Staffordshire Terriers, and there's, you know, as beautiful as I think they are, and they wouldn't attack anybody, there's no way knowing I would leave them in the backyard with my grandchildren without looking over them, without watching my kids and the grandkids.
Why have you got them, Coxie? Why did you pick Staffies?
Look, they're a beautiful natured dog. Amstaffs, I don't know if, you know, anybody out there that owns Amstaffs, they're a beautiful natured dog, but at the end of the day, they're a pack animal. They would not tolerate a kid poking them in the eye time after time, you know. So you've got to keep your eye on your kids and your dogs. I believe it's a strong point. You do not ever leave them alone with your kids.
Because you don't know what the kids will do or the dog. That's probably a fair point, Cox.
You know?
Thank you, Coxie.
Yeah, thank you. It's interesting, though, because certain dogs have certain personalities. For example, the greyhound will chase. We know that.
Sausage dog will bite.
Aren't you embarrassed? Really?
If I was you, I wouldn't mention that again.
It happened, mate. It's true.
It was a vicious licking, virtually.
With a little bit of gumming at the end.
Matt, where are you, Matt? Are you Mango Hill or somewhere?
Yeah, mate, I'm Mango Hill.
Yeah, mate. Well, so what do you think it is?
I think it's the owners, mate. I've got a Staffy behind me that's barking its head off and eating everything and eating air conditioners, and then they decided at Christmas to get another Staffy. Yeah, now we're actually going through council to try and get it stopped because all it wants to do is eat the dog next door and eat every child that walks past.
Yeah, and that's so annoying, isn't it, Matt? That when irresponsible people just go, I can get as many dogs as I want. I don't have to train them. That is so annoying, isn't it?
Yeah, and you look over their backyard and all they've got in there is 1 tennis ball.
Yep, there you go. See, you got to have. See, could you ever have a situation where people have to do some sort of education when you buy a dog?
That's interesting.
You could just go to any shop you want and just buy yourself a dog, and there's no, they're potentially lethal, Robin, and then you just wander out with it, take it to a park, no worries. Yeah. Surely you should have to do something or another.
Well, it's $46, I think, a year to register them unless they're a dangerous dog, and then it's up to about $500.
Yeah, but there's no education attached
to that.
No,
there isn't. There's no requirement whatsoever.
Very. I've been saying this for years. You should have to do a 4-year university course if you want to have a vicious sausage dog. Yeah, because otherwise, someone's
ankle. Who do you blame for that, by the way?
The breeders. At some point, people went, wouldn't it be funny if we elongated this thing so it looked cute, but it was vicious? And it was a wrong thing to do.
No, it was. Interestingly, 100% of people saying it is the owner's
responsibility.
Responsibility, right. Yeah, the owner's
100%.
On the owners. 100%. Right. Yep.
Hey, you guys remember yesterday we were talking, we saw a story in the paper from Townsville, those two blokes who were sitting at their home in Townsville playing video games when a guy burst in the front door and threatened them, and then a guy burst in at the back door, and then the guy who was playing the video games went and got some weapons and fought back. Remember that story?
Oh, yeah, I loved it.
Okay. Well, last night, Channel 9 tracked the guy down, the guy who pulled out, well, first he pulled out a 3-prong pitchforky.
A trident.
And we speculated yesterday morning that it may be a medieval one. It was indeed. Mm. It had a big bird's head on the front of it, and then, of course,
that's
the three
nasty.
Great spots. It was very nasty.
Because you could buy it on eBay for a Halloween costume.
And we speculated, because we didn't know full details, about his chainsaw, thinking that it might have been an Ozito from Bunnings,
okay,
the cheapest. It's the cheapest brand at Bunnings, and it indeed was. And we wondered how he got a chainsaw started so quickly while he was chasing an intruder. And he showed us on TV. Well, let's go to him. His name's Johnny Smith, and he is as good a Queenslander as you'll hope to hear. So remember, there's a guy come in the front door. He's just with the console playing away there, and he had to hit back somehow.
He grabbed me, slammed me up against the wall. Well, when I walked out with the trident first, the real big fella that slammed me up against the wall, he literally turned white and screamed and ran out the back door.
Righto.
Okay. This is Aquaman's joint.
Yep.
this is terrible. Hulk's going to be waking up.
There was nothing on telly last night why he had a trident in his bedroom. Yeah, but that's just a big night out if a girl's lucky enough to get in there. Now, the guy having first go at him had a tyre lever. Remember I told you that yesterday?
Yes.
Righto. So let's remember that because so one guy's bolting out the back door while Johnny's got the trident aiming at the other bloke. So the other guy's got a tyre lever. It's a tyre lever against a trident. What happened?
So the other fella threw the tyre iron at me, which then missed me and hit old mate as he was running out the back door. Then I started the chainsaw up and I walked out with that. They sort of bolted real, really, really quick.
So they got absolutely nothing other than a tyre lever to the head.
One of them copped a tyre lever and then they took off. Right. Well, then they went next door and they tried to break. Obviously, they didn't have a getaway car organised. They tried to break into a car next door and that's when he started coming at them with the chainsaw. What a story. And now there's a little postscript. If you're going, should I get a trident at home? Should I have a chainsaw always near the telly? That sort of thing. The reporter speculated on this sort of thing.
Under Queensland law, you do have the right to defend your property. Okay. The proviso is you must use only reasonable force to do so. Ultimately, it would be up to a court to decide whether a chainsaw constitutes reasonable force.
All right, well, let's speculate right here and now.
Yeah. Okay.
What household gardening tools are you allowed to attack an intruder with? I think not a chainsaw because you're going to lose a limb. I would think a whippersnipper. Because it's just welts.
What is that going to do?
Probably don't throw a running mower. A whippersnipper, it gives you a really bad welt. It's like a high-pressure hose. Like, that'll welt you up too.
Ow. I'd use a Nutribullet.
What, throw it at them? Hey. Open it up?
As they throw a punch, just capture their hand in the Nutribullet. Oh, messy.
Gosh, that's far more creative than my baseball bat. You're doing much better than me.
Oh, no. See, they can turn that back on you.
Slightly delicate conversation, but let's go there because we've been having it in our news. You may have heard Claire talk at 6:30 that they're asking for sperm donation collection for people with red hair. Because what happened in 2011, one of the world's largest sperm banks decided to no longer ask for rangers to come and donate. And so the World Bank of redheads has become depleted.
Did they say no red dogs needed? Or
yeah,
wanted?
Because no one wanted them. Oh. No one actually wanted to have that particular type of
sperm. So let me ask you this though, Robin. Let my wife and I, my wife's pregnant, so my wife's got blonde hair naturally. I've got sort of dark brown hair. Mm. Let's say that we had gone down the path we wanted or needed to or whatever, of have a donor, etc. If the child had very red hair, then isn't it that people were just like, well, look, we don't have red hair, so it's going to mark the child as looking nothing like us?
Well, yes, and I agree with that, and that's how I would think about it as a potential parent.
Do you think
that
it's
you
just anti-redhead sentiment that's going
no,
on?
No, I think it's we love Prince Harry sentiment and, oh, my gosh, I want my kid to look like Ed Sheeran sentiment.
Oh, rubbish. Oh,
I do. I think the popularity of Rangers has come back because of those
Did you watch Origin
two.
2 and 3? It's Dylan Napa fever. Oh, that's what's driving it. Everyone knows every footy team needs a redhead and that's what's driving this.
Okay.
Women are going, oh, well, hold on. If you're a female and you see 6'5" Dylan Napa with muscles walk down the street, or you see Ed Sheeran, which one do you want to boof?
Napa.
Napa every time.
Yeah, yeah, but can he sing?
Oh, I don't know. Yippee, yippee, he can.
Now
you are so right, actually. It's Ed Sheeran and Prince Harry.
It's those two. But my delicate question to the three men that I am looking at in this room is about sperm donation.
No way.
Would you ever do it?
Definitely not. I don't want the, in 20 years, hi, me and these 15 other blokes are your son.
I told you that story about that guy out of Melbourne. Friend of a friend. I think there was 18 at last count. Came. He was getting $20 a go when he was 18, 19, 20 for beer money. And then they started, as just Ed just described.
But they don't have any rights, surely.
No, but they wanted to hang around with him. And he said, I'm not into this. I don't need more kids hanging around me. I've now got some. Because that was while he was just playing young at uni. He was picking up $60 a week, doing it three times. Every week, $60. That's enormous 20 years ago, and then they started knocking.
Do you reckon there are people like, and if you are one of them, please, you can be anonymous, 133353, because you could be altruistic and you could be wanting to help the population and this is a good thing to help, infertile guys.
Do you still get paid? Do you get any idea?
Okay, you are asking me that question. I know.
I'd like to know the process. Like, you go in there, do they really hand you a magazine and say,
okay,
or do they
someone,
just give you
please,
enough data
anyone.
On your phone? How does it work these days?
A data card. You get a data card when you walk it. Just the 40 gigs? Oh, I better go 50. I've been here three times this week. If you've been a sperm donor or you know someone that has, you can, of course, remain anonymous. Or perhaps you've got some history in this area. Do you still get paid? Have you done it? How was it? Is it a great idea? Sperm donation. What do you know about it? 133353.
James, I'll just read this out. James from Logan said that plumbers on a job site he was on, were telling him if you donate sperm in the city, you get $50 a go.
See
ya. $50 now. And he reckons a heap of homeless people are going in and
Here's my problem, okay, because we haven't had anyone wanting to volunteer that information and we can understand that. So I went to the spermdonoraustralia.com.au and under the title, what are the benefits for me, at no point do they say you get paid. So the three benefits they're claiming under their official website is that you're helping women and couples. You can find out about your own fertility status, so make sure that you can actually father children. Yeah. And you receive a free general health checkup, including some blood tests.
Oh, that's good.
But that's not money.
Oh, how much you get? Well, James wouldn't be wrong. $50 a go.
No.
You do that three times a week, which, gee, there's teenage boys. They're sitting on hundreds.
You have to be over 18. And when I looked actually on the global scale in the States, there is a limit, but you can make up to $1,000 a month.
$1,000 a month, that's pretty good.
$1,000 a month. But over there you can choose, though. They've got a catalogue, which is so you can go. So
what?
You get paid.
Doctor, airline pilot, homeless person.
Yes. Take your pick. Yeah, that's what they have over there. So you can go, okay, we'll go the Harvard track running legend who's got a perfect score.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah.
They have the full and like the higher up, like if you're a really bright spark and you're highly intelligent, you're a professor, you get paid more. Olympians.
So brainy sperm or brawny sperm.
Yeah, because who was that stupid guy in the 2016 Olympics, the swimmer who came second to the other great American,
Ryan Lochte?
Yes, I've heard that he did it.
Did what?
He went and donated.
On his own.
Yeah, because he thought he was a bit of a legend.
Oh, he just wanted to help out humanity.
He wanted to make more of him.
But he heard the option. The other option is you get a partner and you just do it.
But have you seen what a lad that bloke is?
He's the idiot who had his TV show.
Yeah, that's him. What would Brian Lochte do? Oh, my God.
Ryan Lochte.
Did
she just call him Brian Lochte?
I told you I didn't know his name.
The Olympic sperm of Brian Lochte.
Wow. Watching the Broncos, you call him Ben Friday.
No, Sam Friday, love.
Very special guest in the studio, Ed Cavalli.
Yes, it is back tonight on your ABC at the sexy time of 9 p.m. It is series 3 of Utopia, and one of the stars, writers, creators, also one of the people behind my show. Oh, not my our show. The show I'm on. Have you been paying attention? I might get sacked for all of those phrases. Mm. Hello, Rob Sitch.
Hey, Ed Cavalli. I've been downgraded, have I? Yeah, you're taking over, mate, like Animal Farm.
You're an assistant. I'm doing all the heavy lifting. How are you?
Very, very good. Very excited about it. Series 3.
Yeah,
we've gone back into the edit room. Added a ninja obstacle course.
That's a good idea. Really good idea.
No, it's been funny this week. It's actually explaining, you know, anyone under the age of about 18, as I explain that it's 9 o'clock on the ABC, their eyes are glazing over. Like, what do you mean I can't illegally download this right now?
Right now, yeah.
And I go, and it's like, but I can still hit the space bar, stop, and then go.
Are there dragons in it? Yeah.
And it will give me other recommendations at the end.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Imagine that, Marto, having to watch something when it went out on normal TV. Can you imagine such a thing, bro?
It's like live sport. Yep. Hey, Ross. Just in case there's somebody who hasn't watched Utopia.
Yes.
Can you explain it in 20 words?
So it's the Nation Building Authority, an office that was developed to plan for grand dreams and the future of Australia. Mm. And from there it goes wrong.
And yes. And it's bloody funny. Are you going to have a Home Office Incorporated, Peter Dutton style? Do you follow that world?
What politicians are addicted to is the announcement. The delivery is for somebody else. Because often we did an episode on this. I came up one day and I said, why did they do that in defence? He goes, mate, he was the Minister for the Arts 3 weeks ago. He doesn't know what he... And I looked at it today and I thought, you mean to tell me that all of those ASIO, ASIS, all of those agencies allowed two non-Australian citizens to hold the balance of power?
Yeah, in the Greens.
What are we worried about anyone else? The Russians could control us.
We'd have no way of knowing about it. Yes, Robin?
I'm just going to say, Rob, I have a question for you for next year because your wonderful wife, Jane Kennedy, is joining Mick Molloy, National Drive on Triple M, right? Yeah. You have five children.
Yeah.
As a single mother, I'm very curious how you're going to achieve all of this.
You and me both, Robin. Yeah. I think it's either called Sign Up for Radio or Escaping. they're getting a little older and one of them's responsible. One
really?
Out of five, yeah. It's the twin at 10.
With the 10-year-old in charge.
He's the policeman.
He's Peter Dutton.
Yeah. One of them got their own lunch the other day and that was a major... You know how they go, they're walking, they're talking. One of them's 16 and finally got their own lunch.
Now, when you mean got their own lunch, did they get it from Deliveroo or did they make it?
No, they dialed Uber Eats.
Oh, wow.
It was an achievement.
Well
done. No, actually opened a fridge.
Really?
Yeah.
This is my second question because I have a group of friends who are part of the Jane Kennedy Cookbook Appreciation Club and they meet once a month and cook stuff out of her cookbooks.
Wow.
They do. Absolutely love your wife's cooking. So how come your kids can't cook?
Ooh. No, you know what? I've realised one thing about Jane. She's quite fussy about what she eats. Oh. And so I used to think that she cooked out of love and experimentation and all of that. But I learnt this because I made a roasted vegetable soup a couple of months ago.
Did you know? Well, it sounds great.
And you know that fixed smile that somebody has?
Right. Didn't get the special apron that night?
No seconds, Ed.
No seconds. No, Dad.
No, I'm good.
We're okay, Dad. Oh, I couldn't possibly. All right.
That's interesting, Robin. Yeah, kids and early starts don't work, but later on in the day, they're not too bad.
They're not too ratty. All right, tonight, 9 o'clock, Utopia is back. back on your ABC, and then have you been paying attention next Monday night, Rob Sitch? See you soon.
Thanks, team.
Yesterday, there were three bus stations that were striking, Virginia, Sherwood and Willawong, and it's from 4:30 to 6:30. And this is what you guys noticed when those buses were out yesterday.
Gympie Road, Chermside, Kedron, the 333 buses are running and stopping and picking up people.
Look, I just went past a bus depot a moment ago, then there was a bus leaving, and then I went past there 10 minutes later and there was another one leaving.
Yeah, hi guys, I'm just heading down Lawn Prophet Road, it's Launton, and there's a bus depot down here, and I've just seen four or five buses pull out of there.
I've got the 390 travelling swiftly down Stamford Road through Alderley. It's not fake news, this is breaking news.
Our listeners are a pack of dibber-dobbers because...
No, that's good. We asked them to be.
Yeah, but there was only three depots were on strike yesterday. There's another four today. Yes. Can you name them? What are they?
Eagle Farm, Karina, Toowong, and Garden City.
They're all biggies.
Garden City.
Yeah, the Toowong ones, though, like
until
Western
6:30.
Dog.
So no bus will pull out of there until... You know what they're after? They've only been offered a 2.5% pay increase for the next 3 years, and they're after greater security. I reckon that both of them are fair enough calls. I reckon it's a classy strike.
Oh, do you? A classy strike.
Yeah, well, it's only going until 6:30. They're not going through peak hour. They're doing the right thing. I reckon they're doing the right thing.
Yep.
Do you want...
Let's find out. Other buses out there. Come on, dob in a bus. Because those are massive depots. So today surely is the day where there's going to be absolutely no buses.
Did you see on the news last night? There was a couple of blokes who weren't aligned with the union pulled out of the
Is that
depot.
What that was?
Yeah, strike breaker.
Okay, on the buses. Give us a call, 133353. See any buses we want to hear.
Dob in a bus, 6:08.
Have you got to name the number?
Absolutely you do. It was the 333 yesterday. Yeah. We were saying it all day. Couldn't believe it. It was out the roads. Get the number.
Mark, the dob in a bus, mate. What have you seen?
Yeah, mate, it's just in Adelaide Street. I've seen two buses just pull up and, just take off again.
That's what they do.
Yeah, which what ones? Numbers are they?
That was 267 and 06, whatever it was. Yeah, I just saw it. I thought, no way, what's going on?
How's the wind? How's the wind, Mark? While we got you, Mark?
Mate, the wind. I come up from the coast this morning about 12 o'clock, so it was starting about then. And it's pretty windy out there now. So
What a
thank you, Mark. Wonderful work. Mark sounds like he's trapped inside an ATM, so we might let him go. Thank you, Mark.
Nick, can you see any buses?
I'm at the bus depot at the moment, actually.
Which one, mate?
Eagle Farm.
Righto. Oh,
inside.
Yeah, so, they're waving their flags at the front. I've seen a couple of buses leave this morning and, they bloody give them hell on their way out. Hey.
Strikebreakers.
Yeah, there's one leaving right now, a big blue one. I can't quite see the number for you. But on the wind thing, it's bloody not windy out here either, mate. You got it wrong, hey.
Yeah, we didn't ask about the wind, but let's stick with the bus strike. Now, what do? You're working out there?
Yeah, I'm groundskeeper.
Righto. Oh. So what? They're all there. All the drivers are there, but they're just trying to make the point. Hey, give us more money, give us more security. Are you with them on this?
Yeah, I am. Especially listening to the bloke talk about it yesterday. I reckon they should be, closed off and, looked after a bit more. And I'm happy they're still taking the kids to school too. So,
Hey, do many of those drivers, I know a lot of them like a durry, were they throwing them in your gardens?
No, we don't pick many durry butts up around here, mate.
Oh, that's
they're
good.
Pretty clean. They're great blokes. So, hang on,
are you telling me that there are some drivers who are, like, breaking...
They mustn't be in the union.
I'm not too sure about that. But,
what's that noise?
Yeah. I don't know.
It's a protest.
Oh, that's them cheering out the buses going through, so...
Oh, wow.
What are they saying to them, Nick?
Not much, it's all just muffled.
Yeah, good. Well done. Well done, Nick.
Great.
Thank you,
thanks.
Nick.
Comprehensive.
Yeah, Mark of Ormiston, what can you see?
Yeah, I just saw the 227 going down Manly Road.
So where do you reckon it's come from, Mark?
Oh, I'd say it's probably the Carina Depot. It's only 10 minutes up the road.
Oh, so, strike breaker.
Yeah, mate.
No, it might, like Marto said, might not be in the union. but
it's true, isn't it? Could be rogue.
Hey, Marto.
Yeah.
Not a breath of wind out here, mate.
Yeah. Just you wait, Mark. Just you wait. The tide is turning. It'll be there soon.
Thanks, Mark. You're making my day. I'm loving it.
All right.
A real two for one there. Bus strike. Tell wind.
Tell and seek to our producers before they go on air. Only speak if they've got wind.
What do you mean? What if they only if they're going to agree with you? Do you want to speak to them?
Yeah. Well, some of these people are obviously behind hills.
Obviously.
Oh, right.
Right. So don't call if you pass Toowoomba.
Yeah. Stop calling hill people, for God's sake.
He is the local member for Dixon here in Brisbane. He is now the Minister for Home Affairs, which is a gigantic super ministry where those responsible for border security, federal police and domestic intelligence will report to one minister, our next guest, rather than three. His name is Peter Dutton. Good morning, Minister.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Pete. And congratulations too, mate. This is huge from a boy from North Brisbane.
Yeah, thanks, mate. I appreciate it, mate. It's a big job, but you have a look. It was really startling, actually, to have a look at some of the terrorism statistics, you know, which is known to all of us because watching what's happening in the UK and Paris and elsewhere. But you know, there have been 70 people charged with terrorist offences here over the last 3 years, and the threat's not going to diminish. We've got foreign fighters coming back. So the PM was keen to make sure we've got everything right, that the departments are talking to each other and working as well as they can. So it's a big job, but, yeah, I'm really looking forward to it.
Hey, was this driven partly by Malcolm Turnbull having a closer dialogue with the UK, with America, with France, et cetera, the way they do things?
Yeah, he's been talking about it, you know, behind the scenes for a while, and he was with Theresa May in the UK last week, and they've had a home office for a long time. And it allows, you know, greater communication between the departments. One of the criticisms coming out of 9/11 in the United States was that there wasn't enough communication within the departments. We know,
on that, Peter Dutton, I was reading that Man Monis, the Lintz, you know, cafe terrorist idiot, that was partly not to blame, but that was part of how he slipped through the net, that right here in Australia, that there were departments that weren't talking to each other. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And that was what was discussed at the coronial inquiry. So, you know, there are lessons to be learned out of all of this. And, you know, humans make mistakes, but we need to make sure that all the departments are talking to each other, which I think they're doing now. I think they're doing a great job. And we've got the best law enforcement and intelligence agencies in the country. But there's also not just the terrorism side. There's a lot of work. You guys, you know, we've spoken about this before on visa cancellations of people committing crimes whilst they're here. So there's that aspect, the organised crime. There's also the cyber security aspect as well. So businesses that are being attacked online or governments that are being attacked online, all of that is going to become more prevalent in the years to come. So bringing all of that together with the federal police, with ASIO and with the Australian Border Force and the other agencies, the Australian Crime and Intelligence Commission, I mean, all of that is very important, and that's really what the PM's tried to do here.
So how much power will you as an individual actually have? Like, will you have absolute power about whether people stay or whether people go?
Well, the immigration function, Rob, just stays as it is at the moment. So there's no change to any of that. And the agencies themselves, like the Australian Federal Police, the Commissioner still remains as the Commissioner of the Federal Police. They make their decisions about investigations and arrests and prosecutions. You know, the head of ASIO, that agency stays as an independent authority. But you bring them together in the one portfolio, under the one umbrella, if you like. And so we're all sitting around the same table talking about priorities, about the strategic direction, and just making sure that everybody on the front line is, you know, able to share what information they can share, and making sure that there's a coordinated approach. For example, I think there's more that we can be doing in relation to organised crime around, you know, child paedophilia, around importation of drugs, those sorts of things, on top of the work of terrorism. So there's you know, there are many aspects to it.
It's an absolutely massive job. Talking to Peter Dutton, the new Minister for Home Affairs, I understand the first thing you've got to do is go back and have a look at all of the Green Senators' birth certificates. That's going to take a while.
No, the first thing I've got to do is go back and make up with my wife, because it was our wedding anniversary yesterday, and I was stuck in cold, wet Canberra. So
What did you get, Mrs. Dutton? What did you get?
I sent some flowers, but I've got to try and covertly. I know the kids listen to Triple M, so maybe they just text me to say whether the flowers were received, because I didn't get any acknowledgement from Kirillie
The Dutton departments aren't communicating. Do they not understand how this is meant to work?
No, exactly. So
it's your chance to say I love you, Kirillie.
Yeah, no, I love you, sweetheart. It's, 14 years, long time, but great years.
Oh, well done.
Oh, and how old are your kids, Pete?
Rebecca's 15. Harry's 12, 13 on Saturday, actually, although he believes, actually, that he's 19. Yes. And Tom, our youngest bloke's 11.
Okay, wow, boys, Dad's asking, please help, text him, please. Make sure that Mum's okay about yesterday's wedding anniversary. That is a very important job you have
Sneaky
to do.
Sneaky text from the back of the car, it'll be great.
Peter Dutton, Minister for Home Affairs, local member for Dixon. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Okay, I'm pretty excited about this because Women's Day this week has provided some great stories to check with you boys whether you think it's BS or no BS. You ready to play?
Oh, am I ever ready to play? Okay. Thank you very much. I've got my chief advisor, Rebel Wilson, standing by to tell me what she thinks as well.
First story involves a heavenly Harani tiger lily who now goes under the name of Tiger Lily Geldof Hutchins. She is turning 21 on the 22nd of July.
Oh, wow.
And there has been much speculation that when she reaches this milestone birthday, she will inherit her father's millions. Now, the question
is... How old was Heavenly Harani when he died?
She was only 22 months old.
Oh, and that happened nearly 20 years ago.
And she was four when her mother died.
Oh,
okay, so she's been raised by Bob Geldof. But here is the question.
Oh, no, he's going to make the speech at the 21st. Oh, my God. Oh. He's going to make it a fundraiser.
There are speculation that she has no money to inherit. Because
what,
apparently...
What, that Michael Hutchins was left with no money?
Yeah, apparently...
No, don't
all
believe
this
it.
Thing
no.
about his portfolios in real estate weren't his.
Oh, hang on. Oh, God.
Whose were they?
But my question
the
is, well, exactly. Yeah, and the family, his family are saying there actually isn't any money to inherit. But who gets the back catalogue for In Excess?
Well, they had. Let's not forget that that miniseries about them rocketed them back into the public's conscious, and then they had an album. Their album went back to number one.
I think that bloke, what was his name? JD Champion? What was the bloke?
JD Fortune.
I think he took over Michael Hutchins' money.
No, he couldn't have because he didn't write the songs.
I don't
BS
believe it.
BS or no BS?
Nah, BS. So there's got to be something there.
No, I'm saying dead broke.
Okay, wow. let's see. Story two, Pete Evans preparing to
paleo.
Paleo Pete is wanting to have a baby. And
with
that
who?
With his wife.
Oh, don't believe it.
Nicola Robinson. And that is why she had her breast implants removed, because her body is to become a temple to be able to create a child. BS or no BS?
They won't be able to have a child.
I'd say the story
is... His sperm is actually just like, you know, dog poo after it's been out in the sun for a week? It just sort of turns to dust. That's his...
Okay, he has had two other children.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Oh, that was before paleo, probably.
Powdered milk.
Yeah, he's... You'll have to add water.
We're right now. She's posting on her Instagram photos of the e-book Sacred Womb Rituals. In preparation.
That's true. That'll keep him in the papers for a while. She's lovely. She's loving publicity. Yep, that's true. 100%.
That's true?
Yeah. Big
time. Yeah, I don't care.
Can you breastfeed? My question is as follows. Not that you have to breastfeed, but are you able to breastfeed
with
if your breasts
boobs.
Have been augmented?
Yeah. Yes, you can.
Okay.
It's not easy, but you can.
What sort did she have? Were they saline or what?
Well, they were done in New Zealand, so I think they were wool. They were
wool.
That'll do me.
Okay, there's one more. There's one more because I've saved this till last because I was so excited about it. BS or no BS? Waleed from The Project.
Oh, we love him.
His first job in 2001 was the mascot for the Richmond Tigers.
What? No. Inside the outfit?
Yep.
Nah, you've got to do flips and push-ups to do that.
That is what they're saying. He was the mascot for the Richmond Tigers.
Wow.
BS or no?
Oh, that's true. Because I remember there was because as a Tigers supporter, when was it? 2000?
2001.
How did you go that year?
Well, there was a time in 2001 where that our Tiger was missing for a couple of weeks because he was at the UN delivering a speech. So that might have been true, actually.
Oh, true.
Safe to say Australian Ninja Warrior is a huge hit. We love watching it in our house. I think it's one of the first shows that all of us in the studio are watching.
Yes, that's true.
And kids watch it with their parents.
Yes.
It's great. It's really good fun viewing. And the other night, there was a woman on from Brisbane. This is a part of her run.
Bridge of Blades. She smashes it.
Cones to cargo net now.
She got them. Now she needs the big swing. Oh, no!
Cargo she fell net. Off cargo at the cargo net. Net. And I thought she was going to be the first woman to get through. She's a special education teacher from Kensington Grove right here in Brisbane, where she works with all types of learning disabilities. In her spare time, she's also an obstacle course champion. She looked fit as a fiddle.
Good abs.
And she joins us now. Laura Newton, good morning.
Hi, how are you going?
Oh, I'm devastated. I thought you had it.
So did I.
Oh, man. Just went just that little bit too early to jump the cargo net.
Yeah, one more swing and I think I would have got it.
Hey, they should have a different course for girls than the guys because it's too much. You're a lot shorter and it's too hard to reach things.
Oh, I don't know about that. I think it's more just, yeah, you've just got to be able to compete against the men, and we're just as good as them, so why not?
No, it's not that, Laura. It's how tall are you?
About 160 centimetres.
So you're about the same. My wife's a little bit shorter than you. My wife's a former gladiator. She was a trainer on The Biggest Loser, and she keeps saying the same thing when we watch it. She's like, I can do all of those, but it's against short people. This course is anti-short people.
I don't know about that. I mean, I do obstacle racing and everything in there is equal height. Right. So, yeah, even the carries and stuff now, a lot of them are very equal.
What's obstacle racing? Is that Tough Mudder and that stuff?
Yeah, like Spartan Tough Mudders, that sort of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what was the hardest of the obstacles that you did? I mean, apart from the cargo net, but I think you would have got it if you got that extra swing.
Yeah, it's just the unknown. So when you walk out, the atmosphere just throws you because it's just crazy. Like the crowd and the intensity and the size of the course, like you just don't expect it to be so full on. But the hardest.
So do they keep you? Do they keep you backstage? Don't they? So you can't sort of watch other people, Laura.
Yeah, you're confined. You're like in confinement. You're not allowed anywhere.
Can I just check? A mate of mine did the ninja stuff. He said they took you for a walk through everybody who was going to compete in that session. They take you for a walk through and you go, right, that comes after that. And then you go out the back and then next time you see it, you're on.
That's correct. So they take you through a walkthrough to go through the rules. So they have to explain to each obstacle what you can and cannot touch and what you can do.
Can you tell everyone where it is? Like it's on an island, Cockatoo Island, in the middle of the Sydney Harbour.
That's correct. Magic location.
So Laura, tell us about your job because we got out the Refidex to find out where Kensington Grove actually is in Brisbane because none of us had heard of it.
Okay. Well, I've actually just moved.
Oh, good.
So, yeah. So I now live at Goenabar, which is just behind, like, at the base of Mount Tambourine there. Yeah. No, beautiful location. But, yeah, we used to live out at Kensington Grove, which is out sort of towards Laidley.
So you've been watching The Ninja every night?
Oh, I love it. And the kids at school, the amount of text messages I've had from former students has just been well overwhelming and just really good because they've sort of found me through social media and then messaged me and just said, you know, that just all really positive stuff, like you've made a really big difference in my life and, you know, still look up to you and to see you on the show was magic. So, yeah, it was really
cool. If you're dealing with special ed kids, you could set up a little obstacle course for them every day, couldn't you?
Oh, mate, we do yoga every day. And we work we do a lot of active breaks and, we do a lot of different fitness challenges and just body awareness stuff. So, yeah, they love it.
So what now, Laura? What happens next? Anything?
Oh, listen, I'm training for the OCR World Championship, which is in Canada in October.
Jesus.
And obviously with the Ninja Warrior stuff, we're setting up more ninja-style obstacles just around our property to train on. So we love it.
Laura Newton, well done. Contestant on Ninja Warrior, local teacher. Hey, it's Sunday, Monday and Tuesday nights on your Channel 9. Thanks, Laura.
Thank you very much. Have a great day.
See ya.
Hey, I know this is a few days later, but did you see where Collingwood beat the Suns on the weekend? Did everyone? Yep.
Oh, that was down the coast. They played.
No, it was at, where was it? Oh. No, it was at, it was down in Melbourne, I think.
Yeah, Etihad, yeah.
Yeah, Etihad. It was at Etihad. I saw after the game, the reason I bring it up, because the Suns were favourites to win that game and Collingwood have been on a downward spiral and, Nathan Buckley's going to be gone. If Eddie Maguire wants to cut him, that's the end of him. And they win the game. And I watched him in their little press conference afterwards. And one of the main things he wanted to stress was the footy gods smiled on us today.
What is that?
Well, Gus Gould says it all the time, and I just wanted to bring it up. Gus Gould, when the when a team wins and it seems sort of unlikely, and they win because the other team does bad stuff, like you win despite you're not playing all that well, Gus Gould says it all the time. The footy gods smiled upon them today.
Okay.
And you think about gods, you think, you know, there's Zeus and there's Apollo and there's Shiva and there's... Nike. What was Nike the god of?
Nike's the Greek god of...
Okay, keep talking amongst yourselves.
Oh, no, there's gods of justice, there's gods of love, there's gods of wisdom, there's gods of fertility, there's gods of war, there's a god of bloody everything. Mm. But a god of footy.
Wonderful.
What would he look like? Would he look like Arthur Beaton? Rest in peace, Arthur.
Straight away you've gone he.
You know what I mean? Would it be a she?
Well, we don't know.
I think so. I was too busy. That went through the keeper because I was too busy Googling. Yeah. Nike was the goddess of victory and Greek mythology, depicted by having wings.
Wings, yeah.
Hence, she was the
winged
goddess.
Is that where they got
goddess.
The name Nike from?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she was the goddess of victory.
Oh, I don't want to talk about Arthur Beaton anymore. I'm blown away that Nike was a god.
What was Crosby's the god of? Velcro. God of Velcro and brown. I've got one god, the Greek god. The Greek god of... Well, if there's a Greek... You're talking about Greek gods, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
There's surely only one Greek god of football, and it's this man. Radonikos, the Greek god of football and language on television.
Oh, when we're talking Broncos and Queensland Rugby League, there's a man who captained the Broncos for ages, won premierships, won origins, and now he sits around talking about it on Queenslanders Only, which is tonight, every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Justin Hodges, how's it going, mate?
Not too bad, mate. How yourself?
Good, mate.
Hodges, just on Origin, the reports coming out of what took place at the Blues camp is pretty disturbing. So there was the Dugan and his drinking buddy off to a pub for 8 hours during camp. There was now Ray Hadley was saying on radio that there was a journalist's car that had been graffitied and they don't know who it was, but the players were saying to each other that someone needed to get him. And then the big one, of course, that Laurie Daly says, oh, I'm sorry, Andrew Fifita, you're coming off the bench. He has a sook. And all of a sudden he's back into the starting lineup. It just seems like it was chaos, Hodjo.
Yeah, it does, obviously. But those two boys drinking first was just totally uncalled for. You know, like, Origin's hard enough as it is, and you know, it's obviously a team sport. And you know, for those guys to be selfish and put themselves before the team is, they probably deserve to be banned even for next year because you can't trust them. You know, as a teammate, you won't be able to trust them on the football field. And as for Feeder, you know, that just shows how selfish New South Wales are. You know, if that was a Queenslander, they'll be more than happy to do his job on the bench. Like, you saw Sam Dyer there go from the starting spot back to the bench because he knows his role, he knows what he has to do for the team. And
just on that, let's say that had happened in a Queensland side. Let's say someone had said to Matt Scott, hey, listen, sorry, you've got to go and sit on the bench. You know, Wallace is going to start. And then would anyone have ever kicked up a stink like that? And what would have happened if they did?
Oh, look, I don't think anyone would, mate. I think, first of all, you know, the coaches have probably got to the senior players first and run it by them and make sure they're comfortable with it and obviously speak to the player first before you announce it to the team. And, but you've got to make sure you give them the reasons why. If it's going to benefit the team, well, then, you know, guys like maybe Scott, say, for example, was him, he wouldn't have a problem with that because, you know, you're staying on the bench, he'll do his role there and he'll come on and change the game. And I think that's when Loz wanted the feeder to come off the bench to try and change that for him. And, you know, it's just selfish.
And talking of Sam Thaiday, what do you reckon? Do you reckon he'll go to another club?
Yeah, look, it's hard. I don't know how much Sammy loves the Broncos, but look, I still think he's got a few more good years left in him. So, you know, I said to him, you know, it's a long time retired, so if you think he can still go around, why not? Because, you know, once you give it up, that's it. So I still think he's got a few good years left in him. I never know. I saw Neil Henry might be keen on him down at the Titans, so you never know, he might see Big Sam.
Do you reckon the Origin build-up is too long? 10 days is too long to be in camp?
Yeah, look, it is a long time, mate, but... that's just where it is these days, you know. They're so massive. And obviously for players, you know, you're not doing much because you're not training much. You only train like this once a day, if that, but you're sort of laying around not doing much. But it's handy if you've got an injury because at least you've got a few days up your sleeve. But, look, it is a long build-up. That's why, you know, after the Origin time, you see that next 4 or 6 weeks, the players are mentally fatigued because it's not just physical, it's more mental than anything.
Who's going to make the grand final as we sit here right now?
Oh, mate, well, you have to think Melbourne Storm is going to be there. You know, they made the grand final last year without Billy Slater, and, you know, we saw the form that he's in. So
Look, I'd say them. And look, hopefully the Broncos. If not the Broncos, I think maybe the Roosters might get their act together and finish
no.
off.
All right, no, Hodgo.
They've got the best side.
Yeah, good on them.
Yeah, I know.
All right.
I don't want to say it either, but I think it's going to happen.
Yeah, you might be right, mate.
Queenslanders only tonight on Foxtel and then Fox Sports League. All of your teams live every single weekend. Good on you, Hodgo. We'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a good day.